Well, good morning. It's so good to again be able to share God's word with you today. We're busy with a series I've called Jesus is Lord. And the reason I'm kind of drawing our attention to this message at the start of this year is I reminded us of this statement by a great missionary, Hudson Taylor, a few years ago, where he said, Christ is either Lord of all or is not Lord at all. As we've looked at that statement and thought about that over the last few weeks, I've been encouraging you to think about the answer to this question, so what? What are the implications of that statement by Hudson Taylor? And the last sermon in our series, I'm going to be asking that question, so what? So what are the implications? And as a congregation, I'm going to be asking the members of the church to respond as to what they think the implications should be. As we've looked at the subject in the first week, I reminded us and asked the question, what's it going to take for us to realize that Jesus is Lord of all? In the second week, I looked at the subject of five reasons why I preach Jesus is Lord. The most important of those being the fact that the Bible declares him as Lord. Third week, I reminded us that Jesus is Lord over the demons. Fourth week, he's Lord over the disease. Fifth week, he's Lord over death. And then last week, I challenged us with probably the most difficult verse in Scripture, which says, Jesus said, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And I asked the question, why just saying Jesus is Lord doesn't necessarily make Jesus Lord? I want to try a different tack today, a different, more encouraging tack. And I want to look at what I've called the benefits of having Jesus as Lord. A lot of Christian preaching is about making Jesus Lord of your life. If the Bible is calling people to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus, then surely there must be some benefit to those that surrender. The Bible isn't going to call you to do something. Friends, if there is an advantage, if the Bible were calling you to do something that were destructive, surely we wouldn't want to follow that. Well, even as we think of that subject, I want to remind you that having Jesus as Lord in your life is not popular. If it were popular, many more would have surrendered their lives to the Lordship of Christ. Having Jesus as Lord of your life is not easy. Again, if it were easy, there would be thousands more doing it. Friends, when Jesus calls you to make him Lord of your life, he's asking you to give up your rights in order to follow his ways. It's not easy at all. Jesus dissuaded people from proclaiming his lordship. And then having Jesus in your life is not profitable. Unlike the prosperity preachers of today, friends, the reality is that true Christians haven't made money out of Jesus. There'd be many more people in it if it were for the money. And perhaps it's why so many of the prosperity churches are kind of attracting people. But it's not the lordship that I find in the scriptures. Because, friends, the scriptures tell us that Jesus says it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. If Jesus wanted us to be rich, he wouldn't have said it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. He said it would have been easy if it were something that we should be aspiring to. So if it's not popular or easy or profitable, what are the benefits of having Jesus as Lord? Well, I want to look at two main categories today. First one is this. The first benefit of having Jesus as Lord is It resolves the spiritual dimension of our lives. Blaise Pascal, the famous French mathematician, physicist, inventor, philosopher, writer, Catholic theologian, who lived from 1623 to 1662, is famous for saying the following, among many other things he said. He said this: "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man, which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ." The point he's making, friends, is that there is this God-shaped vacuum. There is something deep within us, friends, that needs an answer. And the first benefit of having Jesus is, Lord, resolves this question of that God-shaped vacuum. So how does making Jesus Lord fill the God-shaped vacuum? Firstly, it brings us peace with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says this: "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Friends, ever since Adam and Eve rebelled against the word of God in the Garden of Eden, God's ultimate creation, us humans, have been questioning the ultimate authority of God. Led by the leader of those that first rebelled, Satan and his demons, he has been misleading people into thinking that they could be the masters of their own destiny. And as long as Satan, friends, has been misleading people into thinking that they can be the masters of their own destiny, they have been enemies of God. But now, friends, Jesus has defeated the power of Satan once for all, and it's made it possible for us to have peace with God. By simply putting our faith in the finished work of Jesus, friends, we're no longer God's enemies. And now we can even be adopted as God's children. It brings us peace with God. Secondly, it brings us salvation from punishment. Romans 4 verse 8 says, "Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him." Friends, the Lord is going to count sin against people. For all created beings, including us, there awaits a judgment day. We read about it in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 and 12. John, the author of that revelation, says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fell from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what had been done, as recorded in the books." Friends, what will be your defense on the day of the Lord? Well, friends, you need somebody to defend you. And who's that? Friends, it's the Lord. In Romans chapter 4, we read about that. It says, "The words, 'it was credited to him,' were written not for him only, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised our Lord from the dead. He has delivered over to death our sins and was raised to life for our justification." Friends, we don't need to fear punishment. Jesus has paid the penalty for our sin. Blessed is the man whose sins the Lord will never count against him, Romans chapter 4 tells us. Friends, it's one of the great benefits of having Jesus as your Lord, because having him as your Lord means that you're saved from the punishment that will come to those who have not surrendered to his Lordship at the end of time, on the day of the Lord. Thirdly, the third spiritual dimension is that it promises us eternal life with God. Listen again to the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 21. It says, just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, our time on earth is short. We better make sure that we're preparing for eternity. What's the world offering as an alternative? I googled that little phrase, life is short. I could have chosen one of 50 different websites, friends, from 360 quotes that you can use to motivate you because life is short, or to the top 100. But I took one which is entitled, it's found on notsalmon.com. This is what they have to say. Their top 15 reasons why, what you need to do because life is short. It says, life is short, stop worrying. Life is short, have fun. Do things that make you happy. Life is too short to be anything but happy. Life is too short for fakeness. You only have this one life. Time spent unhappy is wasted. Life is short, avoid drama. Focus on what matters most. Focus on what you can control. Life is short, choose happiness. Life is short, live your truth. Life is short, live a life of love. Life is short, enjoy quiet time. Life is short, choose your battles, because life is short. Friends, what a poor alternative. Life is short, and all those things may be true, friends, but because life is short, start planning for the future. Listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. He says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail, and you will receive a rich welcome in the eternal kingdom of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter, like Paul, friends, is saying life is short. Make your calling sure. Make your election sure. Make sure you've got the future sorted out, friends. Because only those who have made the Lord, Jesus Lord, have a promise of eternal life with God. Fourthly, fourth spiritual dimension that is resolved is that we're promised a heavenly reward. Listen to two passages of scripture, very similar. Ephesians chapter 6. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and 24 says something very similar. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Friends, there's an encouraging sign often seen in offices of people who are vocational Christian workers. It says this, work for the Lord. The pay isn't much, but the retirement plan is out of this world. You see, friends, one of the great motivators for Christians has been the promise of eternal rewards. If you ever listen to that genre of music called Negro spiritual, you will discover the importance of future reward. The Negro spirituals were written during the time of American slavery, and many of those African Americans became Christians, and their focus was on the future. One of their songs, the title of the one of their songs is All God's Children Got Shoes. Friends, what a great sadness that was, but what a true reality it is. Down by the riverside, friends, all of those spiritual songs were about the promise of what was going to happen in the future life. Friends, there is great benefit in making Jesus Lord, particularly, friends, because it resolves the spiritual dimension of our lives. When Jesus is Lord of our lives, our spirits, friends, are in a good place, and we need not worry about our future. Secondly, the second benefit of having Jesus in Lord is that it doesn't only resolve our spiritual dimension, it also empowers us for this life. The Apostle Paul, who knew much struggle while he went through this life, wrote this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 13. Well-known passage of scripture. It says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord, that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but have no opportunities to say this. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I know I've learned the secret of being content in every and any situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. Then he says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So what are the things we can do? What are the things that Christ empowers us to do when he is Lord? There are four of them. Number one, friends, firstly, Jesus will give you the words you need when you don't know what to say. Isaiah 50 verses 4 and 5 says this, the sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom, so that I may know how to comfort the weary. Morning by morning he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. The sovereign Lord has spoken, and I have listened. I have not rebelled or turned away. Even Isaiah understood that making Jesus his Lord is beneficial. Timothy says, Paul says to Timothy the same thing. He says to him, reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Even Jesus, friends, promised that he will give us the words when we don't know what to say. In Matthew chapter 10, he says, be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to Gentiles. And when you are arrested, do not worry about what you will say. That time you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Friends, one of the main tasks Jesus left us to do on earth is to tell others about Jesus. Many Christians are afraid of speaking about Jesus, and my encouragement to you about speaking for Jesus is this. There's a saying that says this, in the land of blind people, the person with one eye is king. Friends, you more than likely know a lot more than those who've never thought about Jesus. Friend, you're the one-eyed person. You have a little insight. You know more than somebody else. And friends, you don't need to know all the answers. You just need to know enough to be able to answer what you can. And if you can't, admit your lack of knowledge and speak to somebody who may have that knowledge. Friend, Jesus will give you words when you don't know what to say. Secondly, he promises to fight for you when you can't defend yourself. Psalm 27 says this, "The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident." And 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 3 says, "But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." Friends, the worst the world can do to you is kill your body. And for the Christian, friends, death is not defeat, but ultimate victory. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Friends, Christians have been persecuted all through the centuries. Yet the true Church of Jesus has never been stronger. Those who passionately believe in Jesus, friends, still are standing up for him. Will you be one of them? Friends, Jesus tells you that he will fight for you when you can't defend yourself. Trust him, he will. Thirdly, friend, God promises support through the darkest times of life. When the burden feels too heavy, he will carry you. Listen to Psalm 55 verse 22. It says this, "Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall." Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5 says something similar. It says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." Friend, God promises his support through the darkest times of life. How do I know that? Well, friends, the very name of the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, means the one who comes alongside. That's what the word Parakletos means, the one who comes alongside. And when Jesus left this earth, friends, he left his Holy Spirit. So, friends, God will be there. Jesus will be there. The Spirit will be there to carry you through your darkest days. If it feels like Jesus is far away, let me just remind you, it's not him who has moved, friends. He is there beside you. And then fourthly and finally, the great encouragement, friends, is that in this life we can know we are already on the victorious side. Revelation 17:14 says this, "They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome." Why? "Because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. Oh, friends, I'm so glad the Lord Jesus is not like our sports teams. Most of you know that I'm a dedicated Lions Rugby Club supporter. But oh man, the way the Lions are playing this year makes me want to hang my head in shame. On top of that, I'm also a Manchester United supporter. Now, happily, we won on Saturday. But friends, there is nothing assured with the team we have at the moment. They could easily lose, just as easily as they could win. But friends, with God's team, with Him, we are always on the victorious side. You never need to hang your head in shame, friends, because Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So there are two benefits. It sorts out the spiritual dimension of your life. And friends, it empowers you to live during this life. Let me ask you, with all of the benefits that are make Jesus Lord, why would you choose anybody or anything else? One final question, friend. If Jesus is not Lord of your life, who is? Somebody's Lord. Somebody's in charge. If it's not Jesus, who is? Lord, forgive us for usurping the power and authority that you have. Help us to proclaim your lordship and live in such a way that we live as you are Lord in all ways. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Friend, declare the lordship of Jesus wherever you go. Amen.